Okay, we are on. Jan is on, you know. Okay, I thank Menachem for giving yesterday. It's just between Shabbos HaGadol and some other shiurim. I thank him for helping chip in. Okay, we're on the top of Mem Gimel Pei Gimel Man Aleph. The first word, Rabbah. So the Gemara had previously been discussing the Machlokas HaTanoim that was quoted in our Mishnah on Pebezim and Aleph. The Mishnah quoted the Machlokas, if the owners of the Karban Pesach become Tamei or die during the process at some point, so what happens to the Karban? So the Karban has to be burned, but the question is when. So Tanakhama says you're not allowed to burn it right away because it's not a Psul HaGuf. It's not an inherent psul in the carbon, and therefore you have to have iber tsuraso. You have to wait until it literally changes form, but that means, according to Rashi, that you leave it overnight, and therefore it becomes nifsal mishum lina, and then you can burn it the next morning. And Rabbi Yochanan Broka Omer, that no, you can burn it right away, because lamaisa, if it cannot be eaten, says Rabbi Yochanan Broka, you're allowed to burn it right away. So when does that machlokas take place? So the Gemara had two or three different opinions when the machlokas takes place. First, the Gemara tried to say that the machlokas is if the baila become tame after zrika. Because if the baila become tame before zrika, everybody would agree that you could burn it right away. So we said that doesn't work, because there's a brisa that doesn't say that it disagrees. So we said, Ela'i and Marhachi and Mar, the bottom pei beis and mabeis. That we said machlokas is where the baila become tame before the zrika. But if the baila become tame after the zrika, then everybody would say you have to wait. That was the opinion of Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yochanan said, no, the machlokas is whether the baila became tame before or after zrika. Rabbi Yochanan, four lines from the bottom, had said, afla acha zrika nami machlokas. The machlokas is whether the baila became tame before or after zrika. And the Gemara said, Rabbi Yochanan says, after all, that Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka and Rabbi Nechemiah say the same thing. Rabbi Yochanan, and based on that, we gleaned from that information that both of them hold that lamaisa, once something is not edible, it cannot be eaten, so that it can be burned right away, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. And that was the Rabbi Nechemiah that was brought in as well, related to the Seir Shel Aaron, which was discussed yesterday. So now, after Rabbi Yochanan said that those two people hold the same thing, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka and Rabbi Nechemiah, so the Gemara says that Rabbah said there's a third in the group. Rabbah Mosef Av Rabbi Yosi Aglili. Rabbah says that even Rabbi Yosi Aglili holds that the machlokas is whenever there's a problem in the carbon. In other words, even if the baila became tamei or died after the zrika, still there would be a machlokas, and there's an opinion out there that would say that you could burn it right away without requiring iber tzura. So Rabbi Mosef Av Rabbi Yosi Aglili. So now we're on top. Tanya Rabbi Yosi Aglili Omer Kala Inyan Kulo Einu Medaber El Bapar Manas Rafim Mesir Manas Rafim. So we're picking up this brisa in the middle of a sentence. So what's going on? Rabbi Yosi Aglili says, no, it's all talking about. What do you mean it's all talking about? What are we talking about? So Rashi fills in for the Gemara in Zvachim that the discussion over there is of the pasuk that we've had before. The pasuk that says at the top Rashi, the chatas asher yuva midaba. The pasuk in Vayikra Perek Vav says, any chatas that its blood is brought inside, but eshti saref. So up until now, we have said that pasuk is talking about a case where the blood was brought in on a problematic level, meaning a chatas, a carbon chatas, whose blood is a regular carbon chatas, what's called a chatas chitzon, whose blood is sprinkled on the outer mizbeach, on the mizbeach hachitzon. So this pasuk is referring to that carbon where improperly you brought that blood into the Kodesh, where it wasn't supposed to be brought into the Kodesh. Thus, because it was brought into the Kodesh, the blood became Nifsal, because it was Yotzei goes in both directions. It went across its borders, going in or out, so there it went in, it went too much inside, too much Pidibi, and therefore, it's Pasul. That was what we learned, and what the Tanakhama holds, that Pasuk is referring to. So that's where Rabbi Yosi Aglili is responding, no! That Pasuk in Vayikra Perek Vav of Kol Chatas Asher Yuva Midama, again the Pasuk quoted the first line of Rashi, that's referring to a case when you did the right thing. At least, generally, if you would have brought the blood in, you did the right thing. It's talking about Parim HaNisrafim U'Seirim HaNisrafim. What are those? Animals that are burned outside the Beis HaMikdash. Where Rashi quotes, the Par HaLam Davar Shel Tzibur, the cow that is brought special if the Bezdin Paskins and Rove of Klal Yisrael follow that Psak. All of Maseches Harius is about the Par HaLam Davar Shel Tzibur, or the Par of the Nasi, and the Seirim HaNisrafim, other carbonates that have to be burned outside. And the Halacha is that you have to bring that blood inside. So that's what it's referring to in the pasuk. Chol chatas asher yuva midama, properly, that it's brought inside by those carbonos, If then there a problem comes, because you don't need the pasuk, because the pasuk continues and said what? The meat has to be burned. So it explains Rashi, based on the Gemara there, you don't need the pasuk to tell me that the meat has to be burned in that case, because that's the halacha of these karbanos. The halacha of these karbanos is that their meat has to be burned outside the Beis HaMikdash. So it can't be that that pasuk is referring to the regular meat that has to be burned. So therefore, it must be referring to a case whereby those karbanos, there was a psul, will nifsal b'yotzei or b'tumah, and that's where the pasuk says that you also have to burn the meat b'beis habira. This is now different, because it usually, if these karbanos are brought properly, meaning the paramen esrafim, ziramen esrafim, there's a place outside the Beis HaMikdash where they're burned, and after their blood is brought inside panimi. But let's say there's a problem, let's say there was a psul, so then the meat is not burned in the place where it's supposed to be burned all the way outside the Beis HaMikdash, it's burned in the Beis Habira, right? In the middle of the Beis HaMikdash. Lisro psuleina Beis Habira. That pasuk was referring to paramen esrafim, ziramen esrafim, to burn their psulim a Beis Habira in the Beis HaMikdash. V'litin lo sa'asei al achilasan. And also to give a lo sa'asei on eating that meat. There's just a note. This halacha that Rabbi Yosef Lili says is not controversial. Everybody agrees to this halacha. It's just that he learns it out from this pasuk. If you look at the Mishnah in Zvachim on Daf Kuf Dalid, the Mishnah says this beferish in one line, everything we just said. Para minus rafim, b'seir minus rafim. By these karbanos, which are usually burned outside, paraduma is another one. So says the Gemara, says the Mishnah, b'zman shehein nisrafim kibitzvasan, when they're burned properly, like they're supposed to, nisrafim b'beis hadeshen, they're burned to the Beis Hadeshen, outside, u'betabit begadim. V'mein nisrafim kibitzvasan, nisrafim b'beis habira. That's it. If they're burned, so it's interesting that they're burned further out if they're done properly. But that's the halacha of these karbanos. So says Rabbi Yossi Aglili. So this pasuk is telling me that if there's a problem with these karbanos, then they're burned at Beis Habira, and there's a los hasi on their achila. Amrulo, so the chachamim in this brisa said Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Chatas, so you're telling me that this pasuk is referring to the special karbanos, the paramanos rafim, and the irmanos rafim. So tell me, chatas shenichnas dama lefnayim lefniminayim. How do you know a chatas, a regular karban chatas, that we, chachamim, we held that that's what this pasuk is talking about. And therefore we have a makar that teaches me that a regular chatas whose blood came inside by mistake, then it has to be burned. So how do you know that halacha? Because you say this pasuk is referring to the special kinds of karbanos chatas. So how do you know chatas shenichnas dama lefnayim minayin? So Amar Lahensi, he says, you know how I know that? I know that from the pasuk we discussed yesterday. I know that from the pasuk by Moshe and Aaron. Hein lo huva el dama es dama el ha b'kodesh penima. Moshe Rabbeinu says, hey, why'd you burn it? Right, the blood wasn't brought inside. And michlal di inafik mashma, that if the blood had been brought out, ihi inami ayol dama, or the blood was brought in, bisreif, it would be burned. Rabbi Yosef Lili says that's the makar for karbanos chatas for generations. So Rashi here explains what the Gemara is saying here. Rabbi Yosef Haglili is learning kadshei doros, karbanos chatas for all generations, from this one story of Moshe and Aaron. How could he learn it from Moshe and Aaron? It must be that he said that this can be a model, even though it seems like a harasha, a one-time thing. Still, Rabbi Yosef Haglili holds you can learn halacha from that story. And just like there, the karban chatas, which was his regular karban chatas, this here Rosh Chodesh, Moshe says, had the blood been brought inside, I would understand why you burned it. So too, for generations, the halacha by a chatas chitzon, if the blood is brought inside, it is burned. But one more point. Just like there, it was burned right away. Nifsal Dama was burned right away. So too for generations, it must be that it could be burned right away without Iber Tzura, without leaving it over. That's why, this was why the Gemara brought this here, that's the raya that Rabbah, on the first line, said Rabbi Yosef Aglili is also in this group. What group? The case, the group where, in the Mishnah, we have the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. And Rabbi Yochanan, at the bottom of the previous Amid, said that Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka and Rabbi Nechemiah say the same thing. We're adding Rabbi Yosef Aglili to that mix. That all of these opinions in the Tanaim hold that if there is an external problem in the Mishnah, it was a problem of the Baila becoming Tamei or dying, or here, it's a problem with the Dam becoming problematic. In all of those cases where there's not an inherent problem in the Karban, all of these opinions hold, you can burn it right away, you don't have to wait for Iber Tzura, you don't have to wait for the next day. That's what the Gemara brought this Shita of Rabbi Yosef Aglili. So Gemara just ends off by saying, but one second, the end of yesterday, we had Rabbi Yochanan who said, two people say the same thing. He left out Rabbi Yossi Aglili. He said, you don't have three people saying the same thing. Why did he leave out Rabbi Yossi Aglili? Why did he just say the first two opinions? Rabbi Yochanan, Tzavar, Damu Basar, Chatem Milsahi, Baila Milsahri. Don't compare what Rabbi Yossi Aglili is talking about to our Mishnah. Rabbi Yossi Aglili is talking about a case where the Dam becomes Pasul. The Dam becomes Yotzei. Blood and meat, they're part of the carbon. That's not considered an external problem. They are okay. The Rabbi Yosei Glili says he converted right away. Who says that he would admit that if the Bailam become Tamei, or the Bailam die, then also you're allowed to burn it right away? Rabbi Yochanan says, I don't know if that's the same thing. So that's why Rabbi Yochanan left Rabbi Yosei Glili off the list. Because who says that they're saying Davar Echad? Only the first two opinions, which are talking about a problem, the Bailam becoming Nitzma, or a mace, Mashen came when it comes to Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Okay. It's an important comment of based on a comment of the Mikdash David on this line. The Gemara says that Rabbi Yossi Aglili holds, you learn from this pasuk by the Seir Manisrafim, the Par Manisrafim, Usir Manisrafim, that you learn that if they became pasul, you have to burn it on the base of Bira, and you're not allowed to eat it. Not allowed to eat it. Ask the Mikdash David. You're not allowed to eat it. You need a special pasuk to teach me that the carbon chatas pnimios that you brought inside, you're not allowed to eat. We know there's an Isser Adarais in the Torah called Me'ila. We need a special pasuk to say you can't eat the carbon. There's an Isser of Me'ila. You're not allowed to get any benefit from base of Mikdash. So what exactly is Rabbi Yosef Lili saying? Oh, you need a pasuk to teach me that you're not allowed to eat it. Says the Mikdash David, oh, it's to violate two lavin, the Gemara sometimes says. Why does the Torah repeat it? L'chayev lo saseya pa'amayim. Twice. I saw quoted in one of the footnotes of, I think, the Biurei Hadaf, says maybe there's a nafkamina, where Me'ila wouldn't be violated, so that's why you need another makar. And that is, let's say you eat a kezayis, but it's not worth a shavapruta. We know there's a halacha by Me'ila, which we'll talk about more in a second. Me'ila, the Isser, getting benefit from the base of Migdash, that's only violated if you get the value of a prutza's worth of hana. Prutza's worth of hana. So let's say you didn't get a prutza's worth of hana. So that could be a case where there's no Me'ila, but there still is an Isser Achila. Which is why by Me'ila, let's talk about Me'ila for a minute, why does Me'ila need a pruta? Why do you have to get a pruta's worth of benefit from Me'ila? I get benefit for the Beis HaMikdash, so it should be any amount. But pruta, what is pruta? That's a Dini Mamanis type of rule. Oh, so there's an important Reb Chaim on Me'ila. Again, there's a lot of Makoros related to this, but just do Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim in Hilchas Me'ila quotes the halacha. We know there's a halacha in Parshas Kisetze. The Torah tells us that if a worker is in a field, the Mishnah Yisrael and Metzia discuss this. The worker is in a field, so the worker has certain rights about what he's allowed to eat in the field. If he's working in the vines, he's allowed to eat grapes. Certain grapes, certain amount of grapes. If he's working in the olives, he's allowed to eat olives. Wherever he's working, the worker has certain rights. The animal also has certain rights. Los Axum Sorbidisho. That's why you can't put a muzzle on your animal. So the animal, the people have certain rights. Is the person allowed to eat Isurim, when he's working in the field? Is he allowed to eat Maiser Sheni, if that's some of the fruit, if it's outside the walls of Yerushalayim? Of course not. He's not allowed to eat Maiser Sheni. If he's a Nazir, is he allowed to eat the grapes? If he's a Nazir worker in a field? Of course not. That's Isurim. So fine, that's not problematic. So the Rambam quotes, based on the Gemara, the Rambam quotes that the worker is only allowed to eat Heter. He's not allowed to eat Nazir, he's not allowed to eat Maiser Sheni, Chutz L'choma, he's not allowed to eat Yayin, if he's grapes. And he's also not allowed to eat hektish. Shenemar, the Rambam quotes a special pasuk to teach me that the worker is not allowed to eat hektish. So ask Reb Chaim, what do you need a special pasuk by hektish? Hektish is just like all the other Isurim. The worker is not allowed to eat, you're not allowed to eat Isurim, Averis. You're only allowed to eat things that are mutter. All the Torah matirs is the Isur of Gezel. The Torah doesn't matir the Isurim of other things. So why do you need a special pasuk by hektish? So says Reb Chaim here, you see an important yisod about Me'ilah. Says Reb Chaim, "Valkein yira lomar de be'emes lo shayech lamela klal shar isurin migezel milvad di isurim amona lo yafinan ella de bepoalo hutar isol gezel." For a worker, when the Torah says that a worker has rights, you know what the Torah is saying? There is no gezel by these fruit. Says Reb Chaim, you know what the chiddush is? Me'ila at root is an isur gezel. It's an isur gezel from Shemayim, from Beis Hamikdash, but it's still at root an isur gezel. And that's why you would have had the Hava Mina to say that, hey, once the Torah says there's no Gezel Shayach here, maybe it even includes Gezel Hektish. Maybe it even includes, that's why you have that special pasuk to teach me. No, the work you can't even include hektish. By yayin for a nazir, or by meiser sheni. Of course, you use a svara. The Torah doesn't matter surim here. The only thing the Torah matters is gazel. Ah, but if it matters gazel, if me'ila erud is an iser gazel, says Reb Chaim, then you understand why you need a special pasuk. Reb Chaim says because you look at various halachas of me'ila. The halacha of me'ila is that what he gives a few examples here. Number one, siref lizman meruba. Why could I do a half, a little bit today, and a little bit tomorrow, a little bit the next day, and it could all be mitzarif? That's by Yisurim, that doesn't happen. There's Kedei Achilas Pras, there's other rules, but if it's an Isser Gezel, so altogether, then I've stolen now. Why is the Shira Pruta, we mentioned? The Shira Pruta is because it's a Dinam Ominous connected. Why is it that Achilasov Achilas Chaveiro Mitztarfin? We could combine to violate Mi'ila, the Shira Mi'ila. We can't combine to each Reif, we can't combine to do other Yisurim, but says Reb Chaim, no, and there are other rays to this, but Reb Chaim says that root Mi'ila is an Isser Gezel, and that is why you need a special pasuk to teach me that the worker can't eat hektish. That relates to this nafkamina that's quoted from the to answer up the question of the Mikdash David, that you might say for if you did less than a pruta, there would be no mi'ila, but there would be an isra achila. So that relates to the Reb Chaim. The reason that you need a pruta is gezel. There is a tosis of kedushin, maybe at the end we'll talk about it, that says maybe there are two kinds of mi'ila. There's a mi'ila of gezel and there's a mi'ila of hana'a. There's a tosis of kedushin on daf nunhei. But we'll move on, but that is the Reb Chaim related to the isra mi'ila. Okay, Mishnah, Mas Nisan. Continuing to discuss the Karban Pesach. Ha'atzamos v'hagidin v'hanosar yisarfu b'shisha asar. The bones of the Karban Pesach, the gidin, the sinews of the Karban Pesach, and nosar are burned on the morning of the 16th. Meaning, you can't burn it on the morning of the 15th, the first day Yantif, because you're not allowed to burn kachim, even though there were nosar, you can't burn them on Yantif, that's the halacha, so you have to wait till the 16th to burn them. Chal tazayin lios b'shabbos, and if the second day of Pesach is Shabbos, so therefore you can't burn them on the first day because it's Yantif, or the second day because it's Shabbos, so you burn them on the third day, you start with Yudzayim, you burn them on Yudzayim, l'pisha ina doche lo osa Shabbos lo osa Yantif. Right, because they're not doche, Shabbos or Yantif, so therefore you'd have to wait another day and burn them the first day of Chol HaMoed, which is a weekday. Well, the Gemara here says you have to burn the nosar. What do you have to burn the bones? You always have to burn the bones? So why do you always have to burn the bones for? No, why doesn't it just say nosar? Why does it say bones that became nosar? So Rashi explains, based on what the Gemara is going to say, the Mishnah seems to list bones and sinews as if they're something that will become nosar. And it lists them just to teach us that halacha, that it will become noser. Bones, why do bones become noser? Bones, me'ikar hadin, if you have plain bones of a karban, that cannot become noser. Noser, leftover meat, only something that is edible can become noser. Because you left it over and you didn't eat it, therefore it's called noser, and therefore you have a mitzvah saseh to burn it. So what kind of meat bones are we talking about? So Rashi explains, based on what the Gemara is going to say, there's an Isser Daraisa, as we'll talk about today, of breaking the bones of the base of the Karban Pesach. The Etzem L'Sish Bruvo. You're not allowed to break the bones. It's a separate Isser Daraisa counted in the Minyan Mitzvahs. So we know there's marrow. There's stuff inside the bones that people like to eat. So that's why the bones are going to have to be burned. Because you're not allowed to break the bones of the Karban Pesach, therefore this edible material is inside that you're not going to be able to get to. So that is why the Mishnah specifically says the bones are going to turn into nosar. It says it separately because to teach us this halacha. You're not allowed to break the bones, you're not going to be able to get to what's inside. Therefore, that's what's always going to happen with the bones of the Karban Pesach. Even though regular bones of other kachim, you wouldn't have to burn if they become nosar, as long as they don't have meat on it, if they're plain bones. Gidin, what about gidin, the sinews? Why can you eat the gidin? So the Gemara Namabe is going to talk about which gid of the animal we're talking about in the Mishnah. Okay, so now let's go to the Gemara. Yeah. If the Mishnah says you can't burn it on Yontif, what would be the Havamina to say that you can't burn it on Shabbos? So I think the Mishnah is just, I saw the question asked, but I think the Mishnah is just going through the regular cycle. Right, this is when it's usually burned. This is when it's usually burned. If it happens to be Shabbos, you don't burn it. But maybe it could be Zuvain Sarachlam or Zuptani. Gemara. Amr Rabbi Yitzchak. The din of Rabbi Yitzchak. Atzmos Kodshim Sheshim Shu Nosar. Rabbi Yitzchak says there is a din midrabbanim which we'll have in a couple of days. The reasons for this that no Chazal were gozer tuma on nosar. Nosar really isn't tame, right? Nosar you have a mitzvah to burn. It's karban that was left over. Chazal were gozer tuma on nosar. So we'll get to the reasons for that. We had it referred to earlier in the Masechta. We'll get the reasons for that in a couple of days. So says Rabbi Yitzchak, not only is nosar is that tamei, but even the bones which house the nosar, the bones which are mishamish, which service the nosar, that also was included in the gzeira of tumah. Atzmos kachim, the bones of karbanos, sheshimshu nosar, that service nosar, metamenes hayadayim, those bones also are metame the hands. That means they're this tumah. Hoav anaseh basis l'davar ha'aser. We thought that principle was only by Hilchos Shabbos. We know here it's by Kachim as well. Since the bones were a basis, they're a base for holding something, Asur, therefore Chazal, where goes their tumah on those bones. Again, bones that at one time, right, you didn't take out the marrow, you didn't take it before it became Nosar, it was still in the bones at the time of the time that the carbon became Nosar, those also are Metami Yisiyadai. The Rabbi Yisrael does not talk about whether you have to burn it. He just says, "Betami siyadayim." Now we're going to relate it to the Mishnah. Name of Messiah. Let's say our Mishnah is approved to Rabbi Yisrael. Our Mishnah says that yeah, a case that you have to burn the bones. What kind of bones are we talking about in our Mishnah? Moach. Are we talking about a case where it has marrow inside in the bones? So then, why is it that, I'm sorry, the last one, if it does not have marrow inside these bones, so why do you have to burn it? Nishdinu, just throw them out. You only have to burn parts of a carbon that are edible, that were left over. So if we're talking about bones that became nosar, and it does not have moach in there, so you should just be able to throw it out. Again, there's a Mishnah Moach that discusses, is there a lechatchila not to... is there a lechatchila to burn some bones that don't have moach? Or he's also going to relate to, is there a lechatchila not to break the bones of an etzem she'ein bo moach? What is the halacha on a derabanan level? On a deraisa level, for sure, there is no problem, as the Gemara says. So if we're talking about bones that don't have any marrow inside, then of course you don't have to burn it. That can't be what the Mishnah is talking about. Elapshi, that this bumach must be a case in our Mishnah where there is marrow inside, meaning there is edible material, and that's why you have to burn it. So Iyamai Bishlam Hashimish Noser Milsahi. So if Rabbi Yitzchak is right, if Shimush Nosar, if the bones that service Nosar is significant, and therefore that would make Chazal Metameis Yadayim even by the bones, so then we understand the Mishnah. That's why you have to burn these bones which house the marrow. That's fine. But if you say Rabbi Yitzchak is not correct, if you say Shimush Nosar, the bones that service the Nosar, is not significant, so then why would you have to burn it? If the bones are not significant, even though they has the nosar, so why would you have to burn the bones? Let me tell you what to do, says the Gemara. Nisbarinhu, after they became nosar, break them, because the assumption of the Gemara here is that once there's a psul in the carbon, there is no more isser of breaking the bones. That's the assumption of the Gemara now. So once it becomes nosar, nisbarinhu, break the bones, the nechlitzol moach tutu, take out the moach, the nisrafinu, and then burn the moach, burn the marrow, finish dinu l'tutu, and then, you know, throw away the bones. Why should you have to burn the bones? Amazing Rashi. What does Rashi say? You don't want to waste the wood of the Beis HaMikdash burning these bones. You know, it's how much wood are you going to... every little thing. Or tircha. You're going to have to schlep more wood onto the Mizbeach. So it's better not to burn these bones if you don't have to. So that's the raya. That's the potential raya to Rabbi Yitzchak. Because the Mishnah only makes sense if the bones that house the nosar are significant. That's why there'll be gozer tumah in Rabbi Yitzchak's case. That's why you have to burn them in the Mishnah's case. Elav shvamina shimush nosar milsahi. So is that a raya to Rabbi Yitzchak? Says the Gemara, no. Amri lo, maybe there's no raya. Lo olam em lecha shimush nosar la milsahi. Maybe their shimush nosar, the bones that service the nosar, are not significant. So therefore, why here do you have to burn the bones? Because you don't have a breira, you don't have a choice. The ksavar bo bakasha afilu b'pasul, because this Mishnah is holding that the isser of breaking the bones is even intact, that isser, even after the carbon becomes pasul. And that's why, really, Maker, then you don't have to burn these bones. But you can't break them to get to the Moloch inside, because there's an Isidar Isa of breaking the bones of the Karban Pesach. So that is why the Mishnah says what it does. It says the Gemara, one second, I feel apostle saka daitach. There's an Isser to break the bones even by apostle. Bahat Saba, we learned in a Mishnah. We don't have to wait too long. Imagine tomorrow, this Mishnah comes up. Bahatanan, tomorrow is daf. The Mishnah says, Aval hamosir b'tahar, if you leave over from a tar karim pesach, v'hashover b'tameh, or you break the bones of a tummy karim pesach, eino sofek es arbam. There's no malchus. Meaning it's not asadar isa. So what do you mean? This Mishnah, that pigimel says, assumes that there is an isser of breaking the bones by a tummy karban, an apostle karban, and by the tomorrow's Mishnah doesn't? Can't say that. What's the difference between today's and tomorrow's? So Lo Kasha, says the Gemara, no, there's a chilek. this Mishnah can hold that the Isser breaking the bones is even by apostle carbon, but there are two kinds of apostle carbons. Kach ha'islo shasa kosher, kach lo ha'islo shasa kosher. Our Mishnah, where it says the Isser is intact, is only ha'islo shasa kosher, where it was a good carbon for a while, and then it became apostle. So there, the Isser stays intact, and you're not allowed to break the bones even after it becomes apostle. That Mishnah, late on tomorrow's daf, on daf pei dalad, where it says there's no Isser, that's a case where it became problematic right away, before it had a time of shasa kosher. Rashi says, where it became tummy before the zrika, meaning there's no significant part of the avoda that happened already, and therefore, that's why there was no Isser breaking the bones. But lamaisa, what comes out? That our Mishnah is not a raya to Rabbi Yitzchak. Because our Mishnah, the reason that you have to burn the bones is not because they're significant, but because you just can't get to the moach inside, because the Isser of breaking the bones stays intact. Finishes off the Gemara, umatana deshani lepe chaisala shakosha lo haisala shasa kosher. Where is there an opinion, beferish, where we see that there's a difference between whether the carbon became problematic right away, or it had a shasa kosher, it had some time where it was roi. So is there an opinion out there like that? Says the Gemara, yes. Rabbi Yaakov, it's the opinion of Rabbi Yaakov. Tanya, the etzem losish bruvo. The pasuk says in Parak Yud Beis and Shmo, in Parshas Bo, you can't break the bones. Bo bekasher v'lo b'pasul. Tanakama says it only applies by carbonos pesach that are kosher and not pasul. Rabbi Yaakov Omer, ha'islo shasa kosher v'nifsal yishvom b'shem shviras etzem. Lo, so Rabbi Yaakov says it. If it had a shasa kosher, if it had a time when it was good and then it became problematic nifsal, then the isser stays intact. Lo, ha'islo shasa kosher ain't bo b'shem shviras etzem. But if it ever had a shasa kosher, then there is no problem. And Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon says echaz v'echaz ain't bo b'shem shviras etzem. Rabbi Shimon says no matter what, if it became nifsal, there is no problem of Shviras Etzem. Okay, we're not going to get into now what's the difference between the Tanakhama and Reb Shimon. Not for now. There is a discussion in the postkim. What about a current Pesach that's Tumah Dechuyah B'Tzibur? Is there an Isser Shviras Etzem there? That's not clear in our Gemara. Hopefully we'll talk about it at a future date. Because the Gemara says, once it became Tameh, you know, there's no problem. So what about a Tumah Dechuyah B'Tzibur? So do all the halachos of a regular carbon Pesach apply by Tumah Dechuyah B'Tzibur? So that's something to look into. Right, it says puzzle. It says puzzle, but let's say Rashi says, for example, Nitzmol lefanzrika. Rashi relates it by a case of Lohai Shalosh Shasa Kosher. Right, so do you say it's as if it's brought Pitzahar or not? Okay, so that was all a try to prove to support Rabbi Yitzchak, and it was rejected. So now we're going to ask a kasha on Rabbi Yitzchak to say Rabbi Yitzchak is wrong. Meisvei, the Brisa says, Kol Atzmos HaKachim in Tunin Sreifa, Chutz Me'atzmos HaPesach Mipnei HaTakala. That's the statement of the Brisa. All bones of carbonos do not need to be burned, right? Because they are, if they don't have any moach in them, well, we'll talk about exactly what kind of bones we're talking about, but me'ikar adin, bones which were not edible to start out with, do not have to be burned. No service only by definition, something that could have been eaten, wasn't, and was left over. Says the Brisa, any bones of kachim do not need to be burned, except for the bones of the current Pesach, mipnei hatakala. Because you're worried that you're going to trip people up by leaving these bones around, or they're going to break the bones. So what kind of bones are we talking about? So hani atzamos, heichi dami. What bones are we talking about that the Brisa has a chilek between bones of other karbanos versus bones of a carbon Pesach? Ilema, the lesbahu moach. If we're talking about bones which do not have any marrow in them, meaning they're totally inedible, some lamalahu sreifa. So why would you have to burn by the carbon Pesach? Right, if it doesn't have any marrow, so they're just plain bones, you can just throw them out. So elapshita disbumach, it must be that the bones under discussion in the brisa is where they have marrow in them. V'isalkadaitoch shimush noser milsahi, if they have marrow. So again, what does the brisa say? They have marrow, they don't have to be burned by other kachim, but they do have to be burned by the current Pesach. So one second, if you say shibish noser milsahi, if you hold like Rabbi Yitzchak, that the bones that service the noser is significant, and that's why Rabbi Yitzchak said that chazal goes your tumah on those bones, so atzmos kachim amayetun and sreifa, so why here? By the bones of other karbanos, which have moach in them, they have something edible, they become noser, why shouldn't those have to be burned? According to you, Rabbi Yitzchak, bones which house the marrow, which became nifsal, which became noser, are significant, and therefore they take on the din of noser. So why don't they have to be burned? Why is it only carbon Pesach? Says the Gemara, two answers. Number one, Amar of Nachman bar Yitzchak, kachav v'mayaskinan, gotcha mitza'an chalutzin. No, you found a bunch of bones that were already opened. They were chalutzin, the marrow has been taken out of them. you don't, and you know which are bones of the current Pesach and which are bones of Kutchin. That's not a suffix here. The only question is, you don't know if these bones were emptied of their marrow before the marrow became Nosar or after the marrow became Nosar. That's where you're not sure. If they were emptied before the marrow became Nosar, then of course there's no reason to have to burn these bones because they were not Mishamesh the Nosar. And therefore, Rabbi Yitzchak's off the hook. Mashenki, if they became Nosar, if they were emptied after they became Nosar, they would have to be burnt. So what do you assume? You have a suffix. So says the Gemara, that's the chilik in this brisa. Atmos kachim de'ebam mishem shvuras etzem. By bones of kachim, which do not have any iser da'araisa of breaking the bones, so kami de'nevi Nosar chatzinu. You can assume that they were opened up before the iser of Nosar, before the marrow became Nosar, because the bialim of this carbon must have wanted to eat the marrow. And there's no problem breaking the bones. They broke the bones. These must be leftovers of the of prior to the marrow becoming Nosar. V'lo havi shibish Nosar, v'lo ba yisreifa. And that's why these bones never service Nosar, and therefore you do not have to burn them. That's the reason for Shar Kachin. Atmos Pesach, the Yishbem Shim Shuris Etzem. But the bones of a current Pesach, which we know have an Isser Dal Raisa of breaking the bones, it must be, you must assume, Labasar de Nevi Nosar de Chatzinu. It must be that Jews are, you know, hold the halacha, but they didn't break the bones when there was an Isser to break the bones. So the only time they took out the marrow was after it became Nosar. Then they took out the marrow to burn. Maybe they didn't know that you have to burn the bones as well. So therefore, if you find them, so then you have to assume that's what happened. Therefore, you have to burn the bones as well. That's the chiluk. Therefore, Rabbi Yitzchak is fine. Rabbi Yitzchak is safe. The only question is, the only machlokas is, what do you assume if you find open bones? That's answer number one. Answer number two of the Gemara, Rav Zvid Amar. We'll see what Rav Zvid rejects about the first answer. Rashi explains, you find a pile of bones, the top ones are opened and emptied. A pile of bones, the top ones are opened and emptied. Do you have to go search the bottom ones to see if the marrow has been taken out? Or could you assume that the bottom ones are also emptied and therefore you can just throw out the bones? That's the question that Rav Zvid says is being discussed. So by other carbonos, you find these pile of bones that are empty on top. So, but you could think to yourself, hey, by other carbonos, there's no problem of breaking any bones. So you know what? It must be that all these bones are emptied. It must be there's no moach in here. So you know what? I'm just going to throw the whole thing out. You don't have to do more research. But atzmos haPesach, but if you find bones of a current Pesach, just because the top ones are emptied, doesn't mean about the bottom ones, because it was an Isser Shiras Etzem. So Dilmahani de Chaltzinu, maybe only the top ones were emptied, Ulahanach lo Chaltzinu uba Yisreifa, and the bottom ones were not opened up, and therefore they might need Sreifa, and therefore you have to go and search for the marrow and see whether there is marrow in there, and they would require Sreifa. Rashi explains that Rizvid, this second answer, does not agree with the first answer. Because what did the first answer say? Where you have a real suffix, you have to be worried, you have to burn the bones. Rizvid said, no, if you have a real suffix, you can be makel. The only case is where you don't know if they were opened or not. If you know they were opened, and there's no marrow in there, and you're just not sure when, Rizvid said you wouldn't have to burn the bones in that case, even by a Pesach. The only time Rizvid says that you have to be machmir is a case where you don't know if there's marrow inside. If according to Rizvid, according to the second answer, if you would search and then not find any marrow, so then you wouldn't have to burn it either. There is a discussion that the Melo HaRoim has on this Gemara, where he asks a question. He says, what are we doing here? We're saying, do you have to look in the bottom bones? There's a concept in Mesechus Chulin called Efshar Lavarer, meaning, go check it out. Don't rely on chazakos, don't rely on certain rules and regulations of doubt. If you could check, what's Rizvid talking about? The top bones are open, so then what do you have to assume about the bottom bones? Check out the bottom bones. See if there's marrow inside. Says the Maloma Roim, the Afagav, the Af al Chazaka Varov in Somkin Mavakam Diacholon Lavaro, Sarech Lomar, Tahacha Hu Toreach, Libdo Kolhat Somos Amim Chalutsin. It's a big tircha. Big tircha to check if all the bones have marrow in it. The ode, the af im nimsu chalutzim adayin eno birur gamur. Right? Even if you find them empty, as we said, you still have a suffix. When? You don't know if these bones were mishamish. You don't know when these bones were broken. So either way, says the Melo HaRoim, that's why you don't have to be mavarer here, even though you could be mavarer by applying yourself. So that's the two answers to the question on Rabbi Yitzchak. For a general point, the Sefer HaChinuch, just ended the discussion of Shviras Etzem, Sefer HaChinuch in Mitzvah Tezayin writes the Tam HaMitzvah for breaking the bones of the Pesach. And this is the first place, I think, in the Sefer HaChinuch, not 100%, this is where he starts developing his idea of where he says about 20 times in his Sefer, Acharei HaPe'ulos Nimshachos HaLevavos. That is, we are influenced by what we do. What we do. If a person spends his whole day giving out staka, he could be the biggest miser inside. He'll be affected if he spends his whole day giving out staka. Because we are affected by what we do. Therefore, if we're not into something, we should do it. We're not in the mood, we should do it, because we're going to be affected by what we do. So says the Sefer HaChinuch, and he says this many places, he says this by the Big Day Kahuna, people act differently when they're wearing special clothing versus when they're wearing t-shirts. You know, people act differently. So he says it in many places. Here he says it also. He says, Al kein betchilas bo'enu, lioskulas kol ha'amim, mamlechas kohen ba'am kadosh, right when we're about to become a nation, u'b'chol shana v'shana ba'oso hazman, and Pesach, every Pesach at this time, ra'i lanu lazos maisim ha'marim banu ha'maila gadola sha'alinu la ba'osa sha. We have to remember the great maila that we were at that time. We don't rush to eat. We don't break the bones. Breaking the bones is a symbol of people who are famished, people who are rushing, people who don't feel like they have enough food. They're rushing and they're downing it. We're kings. We eat calmly. We eat peacefully. We don't break the bones. We're trying to get every little nook and piece of marrow out. Don't worry about it. There's plenty. We're B'nai Malachim. That's the Isra of not breaking the bones. So every year we do that when we eat the Karan Pesach to remind us, to make us feel like we're Malachim, to make us feel like we're kings. That's the Tam HaMitzvah, Mitzvah Tezayin, that the Sefer HaChinuch mentions, of Shviras Etzem. Okay, so that was the whole discussion of Atzamos based on the Mishnah. But the Mishnah also spoke about Gidin, as we said, Gidin, certain sinews that are going to become Nosar. So now the Gemara wonders, what kind of Gidin are we talking about? Because remember, Nosar, you only have to burn something that was edible. That's edible. But if it's edible, why did you eat it? Why does the Mishnah kind of like say that it's going to become Nosar? And that's why it says it. Why? Because if it just happened to become Nosar, then it's included in the word Nosar in the Mishnah. So the Mishnah, the fact that it said Gidin, it must be a case where it is edible, yet it won't be eaten. And we can already forecast that it won't be eaten. So what are we talking about? So, says the Gemara, Amar Yudah Mar Rav. Rav made the following statement. Kol ha-Gidin basar chutz mi-Gidei tzavar. All sinews, all Gidin are considered meat, are considered basar, except for the Gid of the neck. Certain sinew of the neck is very hard, it's totally not edible, and therefore it cannot be eaten, it does not include, you can't eat it for the Karban Pesach. But all the other Gidin are included as Basar, and therefore you'd be able to be Nimna on a Gid for the Karban Pesach. Shar Melech asks, based on a Gemara that we had earlier, we pass an Ein Begidin Menos Ein Tam, right, that if a Gid gives off a taste, if the Gid Hanasha, which is Aser, gives off a taste in your pot, it's not usher. Ein begidin benosing tam. It doesn't give off taste. So ask the Shar HaMelech, if it doesn't give off taste, then how can you use it to be Yosef for your Karban Pesach? Don't you say, ask the Shar HaMelech, don't you say that just like a gid can't make your tafshel usher, so too it can't be used for the mitzvah of Karban Pesach? Don't you have that equation? Ask the Shar HaMelech. And after setting that up, so then he gives the obvious answer. No. Don't make that equation. Just because ein begidin benosin tam, there are different rules and regulations when it comes to mitzvahs, when it comes to averis. Even though something not begin of updates for an avera, but what does it say? It says you have to eat a kezayis of the basar karban pesach. Period. If this is called basar, so what? It doesn't have a taste. So what? It's still, you ate it. You ate a basar of the karban pesach. So therefore, you don't have to say that it's all the same rules. And again, there are other areas of halacha where we look whether to compare mitzvahs and averos. We discussed them a number of times, chatzishir. Chatzishir comes up by averos in the Gemara and Yuma. Does it apply by mitzvahs? Eating a half a kezias of matzah, is that meaningful at all? That was the truth of the Shavuos Yaakov that we had. So it's not so clear whether a chatzishir of a mitzvah is significant. What about shelo kederach achila? To eat machalos asuros not in the normal way, we had earlier in the chafs, we had, maybe you're not, there's no aveira there. Does that apply by mitzvahs too? If I eat matzah not in the normal way, am I yosei matzah? Or do you say no, just like I don't violate the aveira shalokaderech, I don't keep mekayim the mitzvah shalokaderech. So again, the Shara Malach just points out to us from here, you don't have to have that equation. Just because gid ain begidim yosei tam does not mean that it can't be basar for you to be yosei the mitzvah of the Karan Pesach. Okay, so we have to put this on the list of the equations of mitzvahs and averus.
Can you call something basar that's not yosei tam?
That's the chiddush according to this. You could call something basar that's not yosei tam. That's what the chiddush is. So says the Rav. Rav says all gidin are called basar except for the gid of the neck. Tanan, but our Mishnah says atzamos gidim hanotzer yisar b'tezayin. Right? Our Mishnah says you have to burn the gid, and it's going to become nosar. So hani gidin echidami. So what kind of gid are we talking about in our Mishnah? Ilei magidei basar. If we're talking about the gid, regular gidin that are called basar. So nichlenu. So why don't eat it? You should be able to eat it. Ve'itosar, hayno nosar. And when it's left over, that's called nosar. The Mishnah wouldn't list it separately from nosar. Remember, the Mishnah says, atzamos gidin nosar. So if it's totally fit to eat, the Mishnah would not eat it separately, because that's regular nosar. Elapshita gidei tzavar. It must be talking about something that is somewhat inedible. It's talking about the gid of the neck. The gid of the neck, which Rav says is hard, that's not called basar. It is edible al dei hadchak. If I push myself, it will be edible, but nobody's going to eat it. Lamaisa. So that's why the Mishnah has it separately, that it's a gid that's going to be nosar. So, eat amr bishlama basar ninhu. But so if you say that gid of the tzavar is considered basar, so antal hachi ba'isreifa, that's why it's called, yes, nobody's going to eat it, but it's edible. It's edible idea tzchak. It's a possibility to eat it. And then, that is why it becomes nosar and you have to burn it. But that's only if it's called basar. Ela'i amr la basar ninhu lam lusreifa. But if it's not called basar, like Rav says, the gid at tzavar is not called basar, so why would you have to burn it in the first place? So the Gemara says, okay, three answers. What is the gid in the Mishnah talking about to save Shitas Rav? Three possibilities. What is the case in the Mishnah? Again, you need a gid that is edible, somewhat, but nobody's going to eat it for some reason, and therefore it's going to become nosar. Because you have to come up with a case where it can be forecasted already that it's going to become nosar, but it's not in the regular category of nosar. So what is that case? So three possibilities. Number one, Amar Rav Chizil and Isra Chayel Gid HaNasha V'Alibu Derbi Yehuda. It's the Gid HaNasha. That's what it's referring to in the Mishnah. I think the Gid HaNasha is also Daraisa. No, it's according to Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says in Chulin, Eino Noheg Ela, Omer, Eino Noheg Ela Ba'achas. The Gid HaNasha is one of the Gidin, the right and the left one, but I'm not sure which one. V'hadas Machras Shel Yamin. But Das, the Das tells me that it's the right one. It's the right one, R-I-G-H-T. It's the right one. So that's what the Mishnah is referring to. Because really, Me'ikar Hadin, it's Mutter, whichever one is the Mutter one, is Mutter, but you just don't know. You're just not sure. That's the gid that's being referred to in the Mishnah. That gid is going to become noser because nobody's going to eat it because you're not sure. He just thinks it's the right one. Says the Gemara, just parenthetically, the Elatif Shot, there's a question in Maseches Chulin whether Rabbi Yehuda comes to a maskana that it's for sure the right one or it is still besafik. When he says, Hada'as Machra'as, does that mean my das? I'm not sure, but my das tells me this, but he's still really besafik. Or is it the Torah's das? The Torah's das, it must be this. So that was a safik in the Gemara in Chulin. So says our Gemara, El Atif Show, the Sfuki Mesafkele, the Rabbi Yehuda. Why don't we say, proof from our Gemara, that it's still besafik? The Rabbi Yehuda didn't decide. The Mifshep Shitalei, because if Rabbi Yehuda really decided that it's his own, that it's the Torah's das that said the right, then Hahida Terenichle, so then you should say that the one that's Mutter, he should be, if he said the right one is the Aser, so he should be able to eat the left one. Udi Isura Nishte, Lamali Srefa. And the one that's Aser, he should just throw out, because it's not called Basar. Why would you have to burn it? So it must be, why didn't the Gemara prove from this discussion that Rabbi Yehuda really still holds it's a Safik? Because that's the Ukimto we give in our Mishnah. So the Gemara says no. It's possible that even if Rabbi Yehuda was sure, it could be that maybe it got mixed up. So now they took out the right and the left one. They don't remember which one is which. So that's the case that the Mishnah is talking about. So it is edible, but Lamaisa, you don't know which one is which, and therefore it's going to become Noser. That is all option number one. Option number two. We're going to talk about the option number one in a minute, but let's just finish first. Option number two. Ravashi Amar Lo Nitzucha El L'Shimno HaGid HaNasha. Now we're talking about the fat on top of the Gid HaNasha. Titanya Shimno Mutter Vistral Kadoshim Hey Minogabo Isser. No, the fat on top of the Gid HaNasha. That's Mutter, Me'ikar Adin. But nobody eats it, because that's the Minog of Bnei Yisrael Kadoshim. That's what's talking about in the mission of the Gid. That's going to become Noser, but it's obviously Basar. It obviously can be eaten. Ravina Amar, a third answer. Bechitzon, we're talking about the outer Gid, which is not Aser. The Amar, it's only Aser Midr Abanan. Okay, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Damar Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Beis Gidin Hain. Shmuel says there are two Gidin. Pnimi Asamach La'etzem, Aser V'chayav and Alav. The inner one that's closer to the bone, the nerve that runs down closer to the bone, that's the one that's Aser Daraisa. Chitzon, Asamach La'basar, Aser V'ein Chayav and Alav. But the outer one is closer to the flesh on top, so that is Aser, but it's only Aser Midr Abanan. So again, that's the third case where it's edible Midr Aisa, but it's not going to be eaten because there is an Iser Dura Abanan. Okay, three how to interpret what is the gid that the Mishnah is talking about. Okay, maybe one or two points. Maybe one for today. We'll have to save the other one for tomorrow. One for the Ber Yosef. I mentioned this in the drasha a couple of years ago. There's Ber Yosef, Rabbi Yosef Misalant, who, and he writes in his Akdama, it's one of the top darshanim of our generation. In the Akdama, he writes that Rav Shlomo Zalman, who used to listen to his drashas in Yerushalayim, urged him to write this sefer. He urged him to write this sefer because his drashas were so powerful. So he writes, based on this Gemara in Chulin, the Gemara in Chulin, which our Gemara quotes, and that is, the Chachamim say, the Gid HaNasha is Usser, Bain the right, Bain the left. Rabbi Yehuda says, only the right one is Usser. The Gemara says, what's the reason? Rabbi Yehuda says, because the Malach only hit him in the right one. Malach only hit Yaakov in the right thigh, and that's why only the right Gid HaNasha is Usser. The Chachamim say back, no. Me'achorei Asi, the Malach came from the back, V'nashi B'Travayu, and moved both of them. And that's why both are Usser. So again, even though it's Ram Kipshutam, what's the Machlokas, what the Malach did? Look at what the Malach did, whether he came from the front and hit him on the right side, came from the back and hit him both and moved both of them. So says Rabbi Yosef Misalant, says the Ber Yosef. Says, Ubederach Rayon Vaharemes Efshalavir. That the Malach is the Sar of Esav, is the Sahara, right? It's all the same force. And he looked at Yaakov and he said he wants to hurt Yaakov. But he realizes that Yaakov is an Ishalem. He can't get to him. So he goes to his thigh. What does the thigh symbolize? The thigh is what's coming out of Yaakov. The thigh symbolizes children. The thigh symbolizes later generations. So he hits him in the thigh. Number one. That symbolizes the children. Number two. We know the Torah is split up into two parts. There's Bein Adam LaMakom and Bein Adam LaChavero. If you look on the Luchos, on the Aseres HaDibros, right, there's no marker for this in the Torah, but Api Chazal, the first five are on the right side, the next five are on the left side. The first five are Ben Adam Lamakom, including Kibbut of Aim. The next five are Ben Adam Lachavero. So the right one symbolizes Ben Adam Lamakom, the left one symbolizes Ben Adam Lachavero. Says the Rabbi Yosef Misalant. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the Malach came and hit him on the right side. He says, we see so many Jews that have forgotten the Ben Adam Lamakom. Right? Everybody, many people who have Jewish causes, people who are distant from our tradition, they're very nice, you know, they believe in social causes, they believe in helping, they're very into Ben Adam LaChavero. They believe in a lot of that, but there's no Ben Adam LaMakom. That's from the Msar Shel Esav. It says they hit him in the right one. Says Rabbi Yehuda working backwards, look at this plague that we have, the Bnei Yaakov. So he hit him in the right one. The Chachamim say, no, Rabbi Yehuda, you can't have Ben Adam LaChavero without being rooted in Ben Adam LaMakom. So it looks like it's only Ben Adam LaMakom is lacking, but you know what? If you look at it from the back, Me'achorei! If you look at it from the back, you realize that your Ben Adam LaChavero is going to be warped if it's not grounded in Ben Adam LaMakom. What you think is saving somebody might actually be killing them. You might think that this is what you're supposed to do with a terminally ill patient, but maybe it's just the opposite in halacha. You might think something is a good thing, a social cause, but you know what? If you're taking resources from this place and not that place, that might be the biggest aveira in the world. So if you only have the Ben Adam LaChavero, so you have nothing. So that's why it's really both thighs. Me'achorei nashi v'nashi b'travayi, you move both of them. That's machlokes api machshava between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. Again, we have to stop here, but tomorrow we'll start with a Shagas Aryeh. Is it? Is it sponsored this week? Is she responsible this week? I don't know.